But now the section I'm going to be in to channel my inner Matthew McConaughey, it's going to be a party at Section 903, also known as Party at the Moon Tower. All right, all right, all right.
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and in today's episode, we got quite a few things going on here, so we're going to try and keep some of our segments short so we can allow our guests to get some more time here on the podcast. But we're going to be talking about the game last Saturday at Phoenix in a 1-1 tie that keeps us undefeated still, which is really awesome because we want to keep that streak going on, ideally until the whole entire season ends, and it means we're champions if that happens. So hopefully that keeps on going. Also, we are going to be talking about Kick It Soccer, a new advertisement partner that we have here on the podcast that you'll hear me throughout the month talk about. We invited Dan, their owner, to actually talk to us more about it and what we can expect, especially from a 3v3 tournament that they will be hosting in the Sacramento area, in Rancho Cordova to be specific, in literally less than a month. It'll be on June 1st, so you'll find out more about that. Also, we're going to have our friends from RIFC Nation from Rhode Island. They have a podcast, which I got to say, really awesome that they're a new team and they already have a new fan-based podcast. Like, that just goes to show you how much the Rhode Island fans wanted to have a team over there. So they'll be talking to us a little bit more about Rhode Island, since that'll be our next rival next Saturday as we travel across the country to actually play there for the first time. And then we'll also be on their podcast as well. So keep an eye out for our socials because we'll be on their podcast in a few days talking about Psych Republic ourselves as well. But with that being said, let's go ahead and introduce our co-hosts, Sharon and Jared. But first, I want to go over to Jared because he is making his way over to his new home in Texas. How's it going, Jared? How's the travels?
It's going a little bit slow here, just north of Tucson at time of recording. So I do want to give a quick disclaimer. If I do cut out from this recording, you'll know why, because of the traffic and location. But other than that, doing good. Spent an extra night in Avondale, but now we're on the move towards Texas. Sunny, warm, more than likely the opposite of East Texas right now. But, you know, it's doing great. And also watched the game this past Saturday. I kind of wish I was there in person, but hey, it's still ended up being a great game. So can't wait to dive into that. And then also with the Open Cup match we have coming ahead, and then the this weekend's match against Rhode Island FC. So definitely going to be wearing on the boys, but going to be good for the fans. Let's see how it goes.
You know, I can tell right now that Arizona is missing you. I mean, you were our Mr. Arizona, Mr. What's your area code that you're leaving and then going to? You were section?
Yeah, I was section 602, but now I'm relocating to section 903.
Okay, so he was section 602, which was way up in the nosebleeds. If you ever been to a stadium that had sixes, I mean, that's going to be in the sixth tier up. It's either that or he was in the VIP seats. So.
But now the section I'm going to be in to channel my inner Matthew McConaughey, it's going to be a party at Section 903, also known as Party at the Moon Tower. All right, all right, all right.
Jared, I think that was the verbal meme that Luis was looking for.
Yeah, thank you. You made it easy on me, like I just, right at the beginning.
Everything good here in Elk Grove, and Luis, everything good there in Modesto?
Yeah, everything good. As we all know, not just here, but also in the Sacramento area, it is going to start to get hot. So enjoy Monday, Tuesday, and a little Wednesday, because after Thursday, we're going to get to the 90s, which is good for us once the games start, because that means that we'll actually have a game without any rain and maybe not canceled unless it gets extremely hot. But even then, I don't think it'll get canceled because we've been in 110 degree weather before and we've still had games.
State of the Weather podcast coming at you from... So we're going to dive into a real quick Losses of Gratitude because we really want to talk about the match and, as Jared said, our upcoming U.S. Open Cup against Monterey Bay FC and, wait, Monterey Bay Union, whatever they are, all these U's and F's and C's, and then Rhode Island. So let's jump in. Hey, everybody, it's time for Galauses of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Galauses of Gratitude. Here we go.
One goes out to Dan from Kick It Soccer for offering this opportunity for us to be a partner with the organization and get a percentage back of all registrations that come from this podcast and like our efforts back to us. It's going to help our podcast so much. And then another one goes out to Jared for still being on this recording despite traveling. Because I know it's not easy when you're in the car to have to tell your maybe passengers like, hey, can you guys keep it quiet for just a little bit? Especially when it's a long road trip. So glossary gratitude to you, Jared, and also the people that are in the vehicle as well.
Yeah. A glass of gratitude to our fans who are going to endure this very long podcast. You can chunk it up into segments. If you're working, it'll be a good one of those days where you kind of want to listen in with one ear. And, you know, I got a shout out to William Lamb. Man, that man is so into sports and soccer and things. And he's just like this social person. Just give him a real quick one. And to the team for not losing this past weekend against Phoenix. And, you know, we'll go from there. Jared, can't wait to hear more from you in when you finally get to Kilgore. What are your GGs?
All right. Well, I give big glasses of gratitude to a couple of Republic FC fans that actually made it out here to Arizona for the match on Saturday, Heather and Mel. I know they got family out there, but they still managed to show up for the match. Saw a couple photos there. Appreciate they all making it out here to Arizona. And I'm sure it was a lot better to get to this new stadium right next to Sky Harbor compared to the day trip out to Chandler. So thank you very much. The spirit was there. I also want to give a big glass of gratitude to Hilton Garden Inn, Phoenix Avondale, where we stayed at. Beautiful facility, very helpful staff, great location. Appreciate that. And also to U-Haul for providing these big trailers for us to get everything moved at. So far, everything is moving very, very smoothly. Let's hope it stays that way. And then also to ESPN Plus and Fox 40 who maintained a decent feed, and to the club for putting 100% into yet another visit to the desert here. So that's what I've got right now.
It's funny, Jared, when you mentioned U-Haul, I heard y'all, but then you mentioned trailers, and I'm like, wait, Sharon and I provided trailers to you? Like,
Well, also, if you look in the mirror, instead of saying U-Haul, it looks like it says Wahoo, J-U-A-H-U, Wahoo.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear a new ad coming. Luis, you need to go get them on your marketing, you know, so you can they can become a client. You can, you know, do the mirror image thing. Anyhow.
Sorry, just real quick, one other came up. So also, thank you to Dan with Kick It 3v3 for joining the State of Republic podcast family. And of course, we cannot forget about Meeks Harvey as well, the original. So thank you very much to both. And that is it, finally.
Hey, good call. It was nice talking with Dan and hearing his, you know, his comments about each one of us. Before the podcast started, he profiled the three of us and he hit it nail on the head. It was fabulous. It was great.
Oh, yeah. So you guys will all hear that we recorded before we're recording this. Here later on the podcast, and we had a great chat with them. But yeah, that was one of my favorite parts, is when he actually mentioned that. So you guys are going to hear that. Trust me, it's worth the wait. Just keep listening on, because you'll hear some amazing feedback on us three here from Dan. But Sharon, since you mentioned people might have to divide this episode into parts, and since the Open Cup game is literally tomorrow already, and some people maybe might not get to the end of this podcast until after that game, or maybe start listening until after the game, I thought, why not just briefly talk about the Open Cup match that, again, will be happening on Tuesday, or maybe already did happen by the time you listen to this, at 7:30 p.m. against Monterey Bay. And just looking real quick at the recent games, especially since that 2-1 Open Cup win against Irvine Zeta at home, they've actually won one and lost two. Last two games that they lost were the most recent ones, one at Orange County, 2-0. And then one at home against Indy this past Saturday, 1-0. So they're coming off a not-so-great track, but we know that it's Monterey, and we can expect a really difficult team to play against. Doesn't matter if it's home or away, right? What do you guys think?
I agree. Monterey Bay always seems to have a card up their sleeves when you least expect it. Plus, they have Luther. Not that, you know, that's a big thing, but I mean, that's a little bit of our heart to play against somebody like that. And you know, he knows if he's on the field, he knows how our defense works. So if anybody could break us down, it could potentially be him if he is on the field or if he gets subbed in. At the end of the day, it's Frankie Yallop. He has played against us several times. So he's read us. He knows how we develop the play. He knows we're slightly predictable with, you know, using our wing play, which is nothing wrong with that. You see all the, you know, major clubs do that as well. But, you know, we need to rely on Trevor and Russell. If they're our starters, we need to rely on them doing a little bit of their swippy swappy magic, you know, where you never know who it is that's going to be on the attack in the goal, or Roro for that matter. By the way, oh my God, Roro's free kick on Saturday night. Oh my God. You know, I know we call Trevor Mr. Saturday Night because that's his nickname, but I'll tell you what, Roro showed up big. Okay, we're not talking about that yet. We're talking about Monterey Bay. We have got to make sure that our defense stays focused for 90 minutes, because that was a little bit of a lapse somewhat this past weekend. So our guys in defense, and that's all 11 players, and that includes you, Trevor. When you're near a guy, when you're 5 yards from a guy, breathe. I mean, like, don't even, this is going to sound so silly, but this is something that I learned because I played up in the top before I got older and I played in the back. When they hear your breath, you might not even be near them, but if you're breathing like you're running after them, that causes a little bit of panic unless they have nerves of steel. And I will say, Trevor, Russell, Roro, Jack, Aldair, if you're near a guy, but you can't quite get there, breathe. I mean, like, sound like you're near him. Sound like a locomotive, you know, make some noise. It doesn't matter. Intimidate the hell out of their players, their defenders. Get that ball back. You know, swarm, all of the things that we need to maintain possession. It's my cheer in the stands. Get the ball sacked.
Yeah, that's quite the cheer. I think you're the one who started, right? Maybe the last game? Maybe it was,
I've been saying that since last season.
Oh, okay. Oh, I just heard it the last game. Yeah, but...
The part that I didn't include was the raucous laughter. After I do that cheer, Jared, you're on mute. You need to come in.
I'm not saying a damn thing about that chant. It's dirty.
Not sorry.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Luther, Sharon, because I think he has a good chance of starting this game since he started the last cup game. And from what it looks like, their coach is doing a bit of rotation with some of the players, right? Because I recognize Baca, the former Cruz Azul player. Like, he was starting in that last match in the cup. So I think Luther has a good chance to actually be there, and especially because they know that he knows us. And that's a good thing to be able to start off, right, with the player who is in that situation and who, I don't know what his relation was with coach or what, but sometimes some players have something to prove, right? To be like, hey, you didn't keep me. Well, I want to show you what you missed out on, right? So that drive, it's going to be dangerous with any player because they're going to be on that full mode of like, I want to score more than maybe they would be if it would have been any other team.
Oh, we see that with Colorado Republic, or is it now the other way around? I don't know. Yeah. We see that with them. They always have something to prove against us. So on that note, you know, this is a must win situation for more than just pride, but a lot. It's about pride and it's about moving on. We're coming in at the round of 32, which is different than in prior years. So it basically is, you know, and we're playing against a local rival. To move on this one is super important for the chemistry of this, of our club, of Sac Republic. This is what builds that unity when we win Open Cup matches. We saw what it did for us in 2022. There was an incredible unity that was formed during that season. And, you know, last season going all the way to the Western Conference final, you know, this unity of club. So this is a must-win situation. I know the guys know this. I know they're going to approach this like any other match, but You know, when you're in an Open Cup and an open tournament situation, it's, you don't get another chance. This is it. So all of our guys, focus, focus, focus. Just stay in the game. I mean, don't overthink it. Play with your heart. Play like you're happy to play. You know, it's not like it's a 9-to-5 job and it's a grueling thing. This is your love. This is the passion. And this is what your fans feed off of, is your passion for the sport. It's like none other. Anyhow, enough said. What's next? Yeah.
So on that opposing bracket or that we would play against in the event of winning, it'll either be San Jose or Oakland, which they play half an hour before. So if we do win, we'll actually already know who our opponent is. And if Oakland happens to win, we actually get to host the following game, because Oakland in the draw was not eligible to actually host for the round of 16. So one more reason to root against an MLS team. Sorry, San Jose, but we want Oakland to win so we could have a guaranteed hosting in the event of course, of us winning, right? Not to say that.
Although San Jose is coming off a magnificent win over the weekend away. Oh, no, they were playing at Levi's Stadium.
They played at Levi's Stadium at 3-1 against LAFC. So that's not easy to beat LAFC 3-1. Doesn't matter where they're playing. So, yeah.
That was, well, and the reason why it felt like an away game is because it wasn't at, you know, their regular stadium. It was at Levi's Stadium. But, you know, what an amazing win for them. So they're coming off of a high. They're coming off of confidence. So come on, Oakland, follow that routine, you know, go get it.
Well, I also think Oakland also wants to join the beat San Jose club. I mean, the club that we joined in 2022 and in Monterey in 2023, both teams beating San Jose in the Open Cup. So I know Oakland is just hungry to punch their card into that club.
I hope they do. And I hope we don't see the same Oakland again that we saw against El Farolito, which I don't assume we will, because there's a whole different opponent. You got to have your A squad ready to go.
And they have a new coach.
Oh, yeah. There's that. So hopefully they managed to get something. They did get a tie on Saturday at Uncle Ruckus. So not an easy thing to do, to like steal points from them at their home. So
that's right. Uncle Ruckus.
Hopefully that drives them, right? Because they have to travel now. Somewhat travel, right? It's all in the Bay Area. It'll be there. But all right. Well, with that being said, good luck to the team. Hopefully, you know, we look back on this episode in a day and a half and we move on and we keep talking about it. But let's go ahead and talk about the game from last Saturday against Phoenix Rising and in a 1-1 tie, and a few things that I want to talk about here.
What, first, the offside first, that Cabral was offside on his goal scoring opportunity, whatever.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that here shortly too, but way before that, they get a PK, right? Something that could have changed the game completely had they scored that goal in the 24th minute. And Sharon, I was only able to look at the highlights for this, so I don't know if, well, Sharon, Jared, if both of you actually saw more replays on the PK, but the one replay that they show in the highlights, it's a bit far for me to be able to see if Emil actually gets contact or if, like, Jared Timmer actually happens to get to the ball first, but I don't know. It looked like it was a little even, but I can't say for a fact if it was ball first or if man first. What'd you guys see?
So whenever a player cuts in front of, okay, so the defender, Jared wasn't even looking at Emil. It wasn't like he was even calculating anything against Emil. He was going for all ball. He literally was just trying to tow the ball away. And, you know, okay, Emil's a little faster. I think it was a 50-50, you know, challenge. I think they clunked together at the same time. And Emil knows to dive in the box. So, you know, that's what strikers do. They dive in the box. You can see him going down on his knees. It didn't look authentic. We'll put it that way. It looked not authentic. I think totally not PK. It should have just been an indirect. If the referee really wanted to do this, it could have been an indirect free kick or direct free kick, whatever. But it ended up being a PK, which was BS. I actually thought he was going to pull the yellow on Jared and make me happy because I picked Sack getting the first yellow, but I think Phoenix did, or vice versa, I forget. So I was like, I was hoping for the yellow. I wasn't hoping for the yellow. Honestly, Jared, it wasn't. But anyhow, yeah. So at any rate, I did not get a point for that because there was no yellow. And if there was, if if there was a PK in the box, why not a yellow? I mean, if you're going to award a PK, award a yellow. So I think it was such a lame call. And I think Emil did us dirty as usual. Whatever, you know, still love the guy for, you know, what he has done in the past. But we don't like Phoenix. We've never liked Phoenix. I mean, come on. What an incredible rival. But then it wasn't Emil that took the PK. It was a different player. And he stutter-stepped on his run. I'm sorry, I'm just going to hog this whole thing because we watched it over and over and over. He stutter-stepped, and also one of their players encroached on the, before the kick, one of their players or one of our players may have encroached, so, or Danny came off his line, it doesn't matter. It would have been a re-kick situation potentially. But if that player was in the stutter-step mode, I think the rules are, you would get to take that over. It should have been the ball awarded back to us, you know, if the player was found to have not completed the penalty kick appropriately, then the ball gets back to us in an indirect free kick situation. Game restarts, no second kick. Well, the referee awarded a second PK opportunity. And so we're now at this point, we're all scratching our heads. We're listening to the broadcasters trying to figure out what the heck happened. And then in the second one, the dude just flipping misses. So, you know, the ball never lies, as everybody says. The ball never lies, and we get off the hook. We don't get a PK scored against us from a foul that should not never have been called. Did I say that? Did I hog the whole thing? Okay, can we move on?
Well, all I'll say is that shot that you were describing, right, where he just like stops for a second, actually stops twice there, right, and then does the kick. Those are the worst PKs that I always say that shouldn't be allowed, right? And I know with a PK like that, if they score, they actually don't count the goal and they actually let them repeat it. I don't know maybe it's up to the referee's discretion if it happens again, which would be really dumb on the player, what happens then. But since he actually missed it, it was all good, right? But I think if he scores that one, there's no way that the ref should allow that goal to count because you just... It's supposed to be one continuous thing. I know a lot of players try to push the limit, but...
Yeah, they're trying to get the keeper to dive. They're just trying to see which way the keeper's going to go. I mean, that's bullshit. But Jared had the best meme of anybody where Well, go ahead, Jared. You explain your meme.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I was watching Amarnakis or Jeff Jarrett from WWE AEW fame. I mean... The man literally did the Jeff Jarrett strut when he was going for his goal kick. I mean, he put one foot forward and the arm forward, and then just it looked like he was doing a Jeff Jarrett rock. Only thing that was missing was him smacking the guitar over somebody. I mean, that's how bad that stutter step was. Not once, but twice, especially on the re-kick. I mean, watching this initially go, you know, we see that Danny immediately yells at the officials, "Hey, he stopped progress." Which, when Rob McAllister on the announce stated, you know, he stopped his forward progress. You cannot do that. So that was the reason why they had to do the re-kick. I know there were some folks asking on social media, hey, why did they disallow that goal? That's why. And then once he did his re-attempt, you see him thinking he can get away with it again, and then ends up missing on the second shot. So, you know, karma comes in pretty quickly, especially getting flown in, being right by Sky Harbor. So. Thankfully, the refs were keeping a good eye on that.
There you go. So then we move on just a little later in the game. You know, we get to forget about that. It was kind of goofy and everybody was talking in the background. Nice chatter. And this is funny because in the 33rd minute, we see Roro line up for a nice little PK. Free kick. And it's direct. The arm is not up on the referee. So that means it's a direct kick from a foul that occurred on the field. So here's the funny thing. Phoenix puts a player down in the back, laying down, but they left enough of a gap open for Roro, who aims at Luis Felipe, who moves at the last minute because he knows he's the one that's visually blocking the goalie. So Luis Felipe gets aimed at, ducks, and the ball, Roro, the magician for Sac Republic FC, does his magic, and in it goes. Upper left-hand corner, the keeper can't even get to it. I mean, it's like, it's a no-brainer. So let me tell you a little bit about Roe. In 2014, when I watched him begin with the club, he stayed late. every single practice, and he worked on all of his free kicks from every point in the field. He would stay out there with an equipment person, another person. One of the keepers would stay out there with him. You know, I remember Evan Newton staying out there. You know, maybe not Evan, but at any rate, people stayed late with Roe, but Roro always stayed late and practiced these over and over and over. And his body just knows how to do this. It's something he doesn't even have to think about it. It's just ingrained in his system. It's like your highest functioning CEO of a company who knows how to get the job done. It's just in the DNA of this guy. So at the end of the day, I love the fact that he aimed at Luis Felipe because those two are bros. Remember the fundraiser that Luis Felipe started for Roro's son, Roman, who's going to be going in for heart surgery here a little later this month, still accepting money. So on that note, I love it. The camaraderie, the goal was phenomenal. It lit us up, but it was not long lasted. We didn't win on that goal, even though we tried to park the bus a little bit.
Yeah, that was still a great goal to see from Roro. I mean, of course, he's got history here in Arizona. We can remember a few years back when he had the one season with RGBFC. I was watching the local broadcast. The local commentators had to vocally hate on Roro for a little bit, mentioning about, oh, his career is in twilight, this and that. And then just seconds later, just lets off a Guazzo banger against Phoenix. And he did something similar here. I mean, I wasn't able to listen to the local broadcasters because thankfully Fox 40 was up and running. But in similar fashion with that set piece, he just launches yet another Guazzo, this time right by the airport. So hopefully there's no FAA complaints about launching as fast and quick into the air as he did. But still, you know, what else can you expect from Roro? First to arrive, last to leave, you know, love that work ethic and then love the results that he puts on the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to tell you one last thing, you know, a year ago that day, that exact day that he scored that goal was when he went in for the surgery for the detached, I think it was tendon that he mentioned. It was exactly a year prior. And his first hug when he scored that goal was to Katie Norton, our doctor of physical therapy for the squad. She's also a magician. In Katie, we trust. She's amazing. And every player will say the same thing, past and present, you know, players, everybody respects Dr. Norton. She's just amazing. And I know we've got to keep moving on here. You know, there was like how many yellow cards in this match? Sickening. Anyhow.
Yeah, no, quite a few, but yeah, no, Roro, free kick specialist. It was nice to see him get another goal in that fashion with us too, right? Because as Jared mentions, that goal that we do remember with RGB a few years back when the commentators made that unnecessary comment. And guess what he did? He shut them off, right? Because then we had the Open Cup run, and I'm sure they were like regretting what they said because, I mean, he was the Open Cup hero, right? We may have not been champions, but we know that he was the man of the cup, right? I believe he also won. Did he win MVP? I think he won MVP of the Cup, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like he got praise for all the things that he did, not only in that game against Sporting Kansas City, but then before, right? Leading to it, he was really fundamental in a few games before that. So awesome that he gets another goal and that he makes it happen in Phoenix too. And it's one for the highlights, for the memory reels, right? Of goals against Phoenix. But moving on to the goal that they score, that it's, yeah, and I agree with you, Sharon. I know you mentioned earlier the offside, I think it is, and I wish we had a better angle, but I get it, it's USL, we won't have like multiple cameras rolling and all that, but even just looking at it from this perspective,
he's 3 yards offside, or yeah, if not two, and I've watched that AR prior, I watched that assistant referee, he was not keeping up with play. And so it just serves that he didn't keep up with play. Danny was right. It was offside. I know, granted, you have to keep playing into the whistle, which he didn't do, you know, but that broke the heart. Cabral was leaning the whole entire match. Cabral, as the commentator said, was leaning always. He stayed high. He didn't drop back. Yeah, he did a little bit of side to side defensive work, you know, to try to win the ball back, but he knows what he's doing. He literally put our defenders on notice by saying, you're not going to lose me. I am not going to back down. I am always going to be at the top line. I'm going to be at the last defender of Sac Republic. And he was beyond the last defender of Sac Republic when he had this goal scoring opportunity and he converted. He just chipped it right over Danny's head. So this ticked everybody off because it shouldn't have been allowed. We were doing right. We were doing the right things. Yeah, granted, we had a yellow card against Luis Felipe. They had a few against them, whatever. But it was, didn't like it.
Yeah, and it's a shame, yeah, because like just seeing it from this angle, yeah, and you could see it.
He was off. Totally off. Yeah. So, like I said, the AR did not keep up with the game. Also, the center ref could have seen it as well because it was really clear that Cabral was cheating offside, which he had been doing all game long. He was called offsides a couple times. So, make a long story short, they scored. We can move on. You know, we don't want to belabor it, but thank God nothing else happened. They didn't score any further. Nobody got ejected from the game. We've got some yellow card accumulations coming along, but you know, it is what it is. We end up not losing, not winning, but you know, we walk away with our pride. We walk away watching some really good soccer and a little tete-a-tete. We had quite a few ticky-tacky fouls that weren't called against them when they fouled us, but it was just weird. That the game was a little bit weird. And we get to move on and look forward to Tuesday. So yeah. I know Luis is going to talk a little bit about the stats, possession stats, and all of that other stuff.
Yeah, they were a bit even too. I mean, for us to get 46% possession at Phoenix, I think is good, right? Because when you play away, never easy to keep control of majority of possession unless you're playing against a team that is low on the table. But even then, sometimes they'll surprise you. So other than that, I mean, pretty even all across the board. We had 6 shots. They had 9 shots. 2 of ours were on target. 5 others were on target. So, I mean, we know how the games are against Phoenix. It's rare that we like just score a lot of goals against them. Happens every now and then. I think what Open Cup, we had our goal fest against them. In general, I think when you're looking at games in league, they're always tough games. But for us to get a point away is valuable because that's what I always say, right? You get a point away, you get the 3 points against Phoenix at home, done deal, right? We could be first place just like that. So moving on from that, as we mentioned, upcoming opponent is Rhode Island, which we'll have our segment here shortly with our friends over at the RITFC Nation podcast. So that's coming up here in a few minutes. Calling all youth and adult soccer fans, don't miss the Kick It 3v3 Soccer Tournament, the original 3v3 tour company in the U.S. since 1990, back in Sacramento on June 1st. Tournaments are happening coast to coast, but now it's actually going to be in Rancho Cordova on the east side of Sacramento. The registration deadline is May 28th, and prices are going to go up after May 20th. But here's the thing, for being a State of the Republic podcast listener, you can get an additional 15% off team registration with the code SOTR15. Visit kickitsoccer.com for the full schedule, regional and national events, and information on hosting your own Kick It 3v3 event and more. Don't let this opportunity slip through your fingertips. Gather your squad, unleash your skills, and be a part of the ultimate soccer showdown. And remember, you can get an additional 15% off team registration by using the coupon code SOTR15 when you register at kickitsoccer.com. Don't miss out on this chance to save and join in on excitement. Thank you to Kick It Soccer for sponsoring tonight's episode. Let's go ahead and get into podcast winner dinner because we have not one, but 2 games that will give out so many points. A lot could change here in our standings, which I know really makes it even more interesting here. So I'm not the one that's leading the way all the time, or who knows? We'll see how that goes. But in looking against Phoenix, how we all did, Jared actually guessed that Roro would be scoring the first goal. So Roro delivered with that amazing goal and also delivered a point for Jared there. And then in terms of yellow cards, me and Jared said Phoenix would get the first yellow card. And if, as Sharon alluded earlier, if we had gotten a yellow card for that PK, which I agree with Sharon, I think it should have been a yellow card. If you're calling that for a PK and if the referee saw what he saw, then yeah, it should have been a clear yellow card. Then She would have gotten the point, but unfortunately, the referee wasn't in Sharon's side. So
I'm not happy.
So Jared gets 2 points, I get 1 point, and Sharon gets no points out of this year. So that puts our standings as follows. I have 15 points. Jared has 8 points, and Sharon has 8 points. So they are back tied right there. So yeah, Jared's out of...
We're seven freaking points behind him. I can do the math. 8 plus 7 is 15. Is that right, Jared?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay, so I know we have to do the Monterey Bay podcast. We have to do our predictions. I have mine handy, and I'm very optimistic, but you can go for... I don't care who goes first, but I have mine.
I'll go ahead and go first, too. So I think it's going to be a really difficult game that I think it's going to see us win 2-1, but it's going to be one of those maybe last minute wins there. Scoring first, I actually see Trevor. Backup scorer, if he's not there, I'm going to go with Russell. First yellow, I'm going to go for us. I think we're going to have a questionable referee, but we'll manage to pull through. First assist, I'm going with Jack. And then extra time, I'm going to go with no for extra time, as much as it is Monterey and it could be difficult, but I'm going
to
go with
no. There's one more category, and that is if we do have extra time, does it go to PKs? And so you have to say yes or no to that.
Okay, to that one too. If we go to extra time, I think there will be PKs. I feel like both teams are just so even matched up. When you get to that point, players get tired. And I think that, yeah, it'll be that situation.
Okay. So here's my prediction. Monterey Bay, I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be 2-0. And I have Trevor also scoring first. Roro, if Trevor doesn't see the pitch, it's going to be Roro. The assist is going to go to Nick. And Sack is going to get the first yellow. No OT, but if we do, no PKs.
All right. So my prediction is not going to be as decided as that. I'm going to go with a 1-0 Republica wins. First goal, I am going to say Russell. He comes out of nowhere and knocks one in. If for some reason, if he doesn't go through, I am going to go with Jonathan Ricketts. As far as yellow, I'm going to say Monterey for the yellow. First assist, I am going to go with... I'll spice things up a bit. I'll go with Aldair.
Nice.
Extra time, I don't see us needing extra time. If we do go, I do not see penalty kicks.
All right.
Oh.
Good.
All right. Now, this one I am going to go a little hard on, so I'm going to go with a 2-0 Republic over Rhode Island. Certainly not for a lack of effort, though. Goal, I am going to go with Trevor. If for some reason, if he doesn't go, I am going to say, yeah, Kieran Phillips for the backup. Sacramento ends up drawing the first yellow card. And as far as assist, I am going to go with Jack Gurr.
Well, it is an away match, and they're going to have quite some travel to get over there. So I think that we're actually going to tie against them. I know Rhode Island are the new team. It's, again, Open Cup. Who knows how that will be like. I think that it's going to be a difficult match. But first goal scorer, I'm actually going to go with Kieran. I have a feeling that coach might be doing a few rotations, especially, again, when you have Open Cup in the mix. I think that he's going to have some players that wouldn't normally start, maybe start this match. But if Kieran doesn't see the pitch, then I would actually go with Russell. And then for first assist, I'm actually going to go with Luis Felipe for this one. I'm actually going to do a different one here. And then for first yellow card, I'm actually going to go with Rhode Island. I have a feeling that they'll be the ones. Sharon.
So my scoreline is Sac winning 2-1. Sorry, Danny, you don't get the shutout in my mind. And this is so funny. I also have Kieran as the goal scorer. And if he doesn't see the pitch, it's Russell. This is so weird. And then Dami as the assist and Sac with the yellow.
Okay. Yeah. Only we didn't think alike, right? You'd actually... Actually, if you did, we'd be sharing first place. So it hasn't happened too much. But I remember last season, we kept saying the same predictions, even though we had written some of them down beforehand. So so there you have it. Lots of points up for grabs. And we differ on a few of them. So it's going to be interesting heading into this next week. That standing might change quite a bit because there's two games there. So we'll see how things are when we record the next podcast. So on the podcast today is the Kick It Soccer owner, Dan Stratford. You guys are going to be hearing me actually mention an ad for them all throughout this month. And I'm really excited because it's our first sponsor on the podcast itself. So welcome, Dan. How are you? And, you know, tell us a little bit more about what Kick It Soccer is about.
Yeah, totally. Well, so yeah, you know, soccer was founded by Dan Kramer, which is kind of a interesting. In 1990, his daughter was playing soccer, and he was an ex-professional basketball player from Northern Europe. I want to say Dutchland or something. He might even be in like the Hall of Fame of basketball for that country or something weird like that. So he starts Kick It 3v3 soccer in 1990 because he wants to see a high scoring, fast paced game like basketball, right? And his daughter was playing and he wanted to support her. Well, that worked because his daughter ended up playing for the women's national team and coaching at BYU. And I'm not sure if she's still at BYU, but she coached there for a while. She's one of the greatest players of that college in the history of the college. She's an amazing player. And so he built this company over years along with Hoop It Up basketball and some flag football and some lacrosse businesses. And somewhere like 5 to 7 years ago, Kevin Garnett, you know, the Minnesota player and Boston player. In fact, I lived in Minneapolis when he was playing in the championship. So got to ride that kind of bandwagon. We really excited to see that team get excited back then. They bought the company, I want to say 5 to 7 years ago, and really shifted the focus over to basketball. So, and then when COVID happened, you know, a lot of these types of organizations, the business diminished, you know, slowed down a bit. And so between those two things, Kick It 3v3 Soccer went from being this big, you know, huge national company with tons of sponsors, national championship at Disney every year with you know, 400 or 500, 600 teams over a multi-day event. And it shrank like a lot of the industry did during COVID. So they were looking for someone to take over that side of the business and run it. And myself and a gentleman who I've been coaching with in the 90s, we played soccer together in the 90s. We both coached and been directors at multiple clubs around Denver and Kansas City, where I'm originally from. I called them up and said, hey, you know, they're selling Kick It 3v3 Soccer. This could be fun. Maybe we just buy the Rocky Mountain region and build it from there. So we bought it last fall, just the Rocky Mountain region in the Midwest, because I'm from Kansas City and we thought, hey, we could build that market as well. Well, we ran one tournament and we had a blast. And what made me think about that, Luis, is when, you know, you were talking about how fun it is for all ages and competitive levels or whatever. Running that one tournament, we had teams where dad showed up to play in his division and he had a son playing in a different division and a daughter playing in another division. And he loved it because he grew up playing Kick It 3v3 soccer. So when we that night left for an 8-hour drive back to Denver from Council Bluffs, Iowa, my business partner Zico and I were like, all right, we're buying the whole company because we want to build this back up to where it was, take it back coast to coast, you know, build it up slowly and sustainably back to where it was. And so that's when we decided, literally, I think a few days after New Year's this year, to buy the whole company. And we closed that deal in March. And then I knew we couldn't do it by ourselves. And so Tim Cochran and Bryce Thornburg had been two of the longest standing employees for Kick It 3v3 Soccer. And they left 5+ years ago to kind of go start a competing business because they got kind of, well, you know, ownership's changing. We're tired of all the changes. So we're going to go start our own thing. So I reached out to them and I brought them on as partners too. So we have a awesome ownership partnership team getting this company, building it back up to where it was. We've already got a national championship, national cup scheduled in Florida for next Martin Luther King Day. We've got our big Vail tournament coming up. We've got Branson 2-day event coming up in June. And selfishly, my son, who played for the Army and the United States National Military Team, he has my 3 grandkids out in Placerville, outside of Sacramento. And I was like, well, we need to definitely expand back into California so I can go see my grandkids as often as I want, right? So anyway, and Sacramento is a great hub because we've got a lot of interest west of there from Idaho and Utah, including Nevada as well. We've also got interest throughout California and the Northwest with Portland and Seattle, those areas. So having a hub in the Sacramento area is really giving us that coast-to-coast presence because we have tournaments planned in Pennsylvania and the East Coast. We have equipment in Baltimore and in Florida. So we really are getting back to that nationwide presence.
I think you're going to do...
That's what we are now.
You're going to do fabulous. I will tell you, years ago, Kasama Server College ran a 3v3 tournament, and it was so much fun to watch. And the flying changes, I mean, it's like, it's free, it's open sub, right? So you fly them in and out like hockey, you know, you don't even have to check in, check out. It is so much fun to watch. So I'm excited. I don't know where you're going to hold the tournament here locally. You'll tell us, I'm sure. But this is fabulous. It is exciting. If anybody is in the area and can make it to the location to watch these tournaments, they are a blast. It's fast paced. It's just exciting. High scoring, usually. A lot of fun, small fields. So it's so much fun. And I'm really happy for you. I'm happy that you have grandkids locally and that you'll be staging this tournament right here locally. I think that's great.
Yeah. And my son coaches for El Dorado High School, Tyler Stratford. So he's sort of involved, you know, in the community. We've been talking to the pro team there and are, you know, excited to work with them. We work with the USL team out here in Colorado Springs. I'm based in the Denver area, and we also work with the team out in Pittsburgh. And so building those relationships back up, everybody I've reached out to over the last couple months is so excited that we're back, so excited to kind of, you know, be more involved. You know, there's a great local club there up in Folsom that we're talking to, that we're excited about, because they're kind of they're growing. Fritz Libby up there is helping that club grow as well. So we're hoping to, our goal is to do two or three more tournaments this year in California, one or two at least in the Sacramento, you know, Northern California area, and we're probably going to do one up in Oregon shortly too. So this one is planned to be on just east of Sacramento. And it's at a little park. You know, the interesting thing about 3v3 soccer is we can set the tournament anywhere. So sometimes we do in big stadiums. In Vail, if you look at our website, there's a huge video of that huge event we put on in Vail that we do every year. But we also can do just a little park that's convenient for everybody. So we're doing this one in Rancho Cordova, which is just like 15 minutes, I think, to the east of central Sacramento. So pretty convenient, nice little park there. And it's going to be fun. We're excited about it. It's coming up quick, June 1st. And like I said, we're working with Sacramento FC to see if we can do a cross-promotional event on that day, because they have a game later that day as well. Well, as you guys know, I think they're doing some work with Special Olympics and some other things on that day. So they're doing a lot to be involved with the community. And I've been impressed with their presence with the soccer community up there.
Yeah, no, Sacramento Republic is community focused, and they've been since day one. And that's what we always really appreciate of the club, that they've been there every single year. But yeah, no, exciting times. As Sharon said, 3v3 tournaments are really popular. And as I mentioned to you earlier, it's really easy to go out there, create your team. Heck, if Sharon, Jared, and I were in the same place, we'd probably be a part of the tournament. We probably just need some subs as well, because you need to have those
constant subs. I would just be the person on the sidelines cheering. Yeah. I have one move left anyhow. So what is the name of the park in Rancho Cordova? Because I know Luis is going to say a little bit about what
the
ad looks like. Do you know? Because we're going to actually have your link in our social medias when we... Yeah.
Sure. It's over at Hagen Community Park.
Oh, yeah, Hagen, it's a beautiful location. What a great spot. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's right near the river. Hagen is just fabulous. Good for you for picking that spot.
Yeah, we're excited about the location. It seems fun. It should be a lot of fun. And you know, the nice thing is you only need 4 to 6 players, but I'm like you, Sharon. If I were playing, you definitely need maybe 6 to 12. I played a lot of soccer when I was younger. I played college. I played a little bit in the NPSL, which was an indoor pro league back in the 90s. But I've had 4 ACLs, 2 on each knee. So I live vicariously through my 5 kids playing soccer. I mountain bike. I snowboard. I do other things. And I still juggle about once or twice a week I can juggle the soccer ball well enough for it to be a really good workout. So that's the, in fact, I put a video, I think, on our Instagram page of my workout with the ball, which isn't exciting to watch, really. Just me juggling the ball a little bit, nothing fancy. But anyway, yeah, so I love the sport too. We do have, you know, for people that have survived aging better than I have, you know, we do have a lot of adults playing. They seem to love it, even over 30, over 40, over 50 adults.
Hey, Manny, we have a diehard. We have a few diehard. Manny Camacho, yeah. He's a diehard Republic fan. The dude is like ageless. He has broken pretty much everything, shoulders, and he just continues to go. I think he's in the overset. I don't know. There's so many people who have aged, including my women friends that I used to play with when I was younger. They're in their 70s and they are still winning tournaments. It doesn't look very fast, but they're still kicking it. So I love your title, Kick It. And Luis, do you want to say a little bit about the ad? Do you want to say that, or is that something for later?
Yeah, that's something that we'll be inserting in every podcast episode. So it'll be the same recording over and over again, promoting the tournament, because as Dan mentioned, it's going to happen on June 1st, but registration deadline is on May 28th, and then prices go up after May 20th. SOTR15 gets you 15% off, and that's kickitsoccer.com. Definitely go register a team, because as I mentioned, right, anyone can find three friends, actually more than that too, because we said 4 to 6, probably because you need to have a bench unless you feel capable of withstanding 24 minutes of total play, because it's 12 minute halves, then maybe all good. But it doesn't require that much, and it's a fun thing, and anyone in any age group can participate, which is what I find the most amazing thing. It's not limited to any age. If you can be out there, if you can play even just a few minutes, be a part of it, right? Go back and experience getting to play soccer again, especially with no goalkeepers. That's the best part. You could score a goal. There's a good chance. You
it's
might
like pickup soccer. It's the best of pickup soccer when, you know, when there's no goalie. The best. I love pickup soccer.
Yeah, and I love pickup soccer too. And this is a chance to take your pickup soccer team out and be a little bit competitive. Maybe get all your pickup soccer friends to divide up into teams evenly, or maybe have one team that you're looking to, you know, be elite about. But we like to accommodate all competition levels, from, you know, just casual. We've even have some beer drinking teams that come up. You know, I don't know if they're allowed to drink beer at Hagen Community Park, but you know, that kind of mentality. And the nice thing it's a 1-day event, so it's just a lot of fun. It's not like you're killing your whole weekend. You go out, enjoy the tournament, and go see the game that night would be great. Where we're talking with Sacramento right now. I'm hoping to work out the same deal. Stay tuned, but I'm hoping to work out the same deal we worked out with Colorado Springs, where we give everybody a ticket who joins the tournament. So stay tuned on that. That announcement will come up in the next couple of days, hopefully. But it might be too early. It's last minute with them to coordinate all that. But if you don't get this sorted out by June 1st, and it'll be coming up this summer and fall.
Hey, you're going to have to let me know if you decide any of those beer drinking leagues, either in Dallas or Shreveport, Louisiana, because if you are, I'm down for it. Just let me know, because right now I'm moving out of Arizona, heading over to Kilgore, Texas, which is right in the middle of those two. So Dallas or Shreveport, let me know.
Yeah, we've got a lot of interest in Dallas, Austin area. You know, I spent some time down there, seen a World Cup game down there. I got my USSFB license down at TCU back in the day, back in the 90s. So you're going to Dallas to cool off, essentially, is what you're saying, Jared.
Well, I wouldn't really say cool off, because there's a lot more humidity there than in Arizona. Yeah. But either way, it's going to be a hellacious time as far as weather goes.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've got a group of over 50 men's leagues, over 40, over 50 men's leagues in Kansas City, where they have a beer league, and they're always trying to find a park that'll let them run a league there that won't get mad at them for drinking beer during the day after their game. So I don't know about Hagen, but we'll see. We are doing we're calling our, that's bad form. My phone ringer wasn't turned off, but we're calling our tournaments cup tournaments. So, you know, Sacramento Kick It Cup, Vail Kick It Cup. And one of the giveaways we have is a cup at a reusable cup that we're giving away to players at the games they can take. And in some of our beer leagues, we've also got beer steins that are going out to them. So So, you know, we try to make it a fun environment. We do get those diehards who are looking for that seven-year-old national championship opportunity, which seems a little intense for me for seven-year-olds, but, you know, to each their own, I suppose. And so there is an appetite for regional and national championships that we're working on building back up to this year. We just want them to be a more legitimate. Yeah, you know, it's funny, in America, we tend to have this attitude where we say, okay, our NFL team, national, you know, world champion NFL team, world champion baseball team, world, we can make up a championship for anything we want, right? That's a world championship. So, but my point is, we want to keep the tournament enjoyable for rec and intermediate teams. But if people want to be super competitive, we want to offer that too.
Perfect. Well, Dan, thank you so much for being on the podcast here. It's awesome to be able to give more context to the advertisement that will be playing here again throughout the month. And, you know, we're looking forward to the tournament. I unfortunately won't be in the area on June 1st, but I don't know if Sharon has the opportunity to maybe stop by and check out some of the games and then head out to the game afterwards. That would be awesome.
I think Sharon could help put together like a half a dozen women's teams. She could just go out and be the coach. I've heard her talk on the podcast. She knows what she's talking about.
Oh, you're funny. Thank you for that. Yeah. Well, I'll have to tag a bunch of my women soccer player friends and just kind of nudge them towards, you know, playing in the tournament, the fun tournament. So
yeah. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you, and good luck with your show. And it's exciting what you guys are doing. And we're hoping to work more and more with you guys throughout the rest of the year and help support you guys and help support soccer in Sacramento.
Awesome. Thank you. We appreciate it. All right. So I think it's that time to actually introduce our two friends from Rhode Island from the RITFC Nation podcast, which, as I mentioned earlier, it's really awesome that it's a brand new team. They already got a fan-based podcast going on. And not only that, but they also have scarves, flags, as we're seeing their backgrounds and all that. So I'm glad that the team just put out so much merchandise in just, you know, a few months of being around too. So we got Matt and Ryan, again, from the podcast. Welcome to State of the Republic podcast, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having us. Yeah. You know, big shout out to the club. Like you said, we've got awesome scarves, flags, everything going out there. And also the Defiant 1636, our supporters club. You know, if you guys that are watching, you can see right behind Ryan's head. We got a killer scarf from them too. I got a flag somewhere in the background here that, you know, the mirroring always messes me up. But there's good things happening in Rhode Island as far as this team. Maybe not results based right now, but the sense of community going on between supporters, the supporters club. Every home match we've had away fans there. And, you know, we've had fans from New Mexico, fans from Charleston, all over. So they've all kind of joined us in our supporters tailgate. So and they've all kind of said the same thing, and something good's brewing here. So it's a good start to the season off the pitch. And hopefully the results will turn the corner soon.
And we got a Sacramento fan friend here that listens to the podcast that told us that he's considering going. That's William Lamb. Oh, he got his ticket?
Tell him to... Yeah, we did our match review last night, a live show, and we did have a Sacramento supporter pop in the chat that said they were making the trip. So that must have been him. So make sure you tell him to drop by, come see us.
He will. He will not be shy. He will be there with his phone, recording live and reporting. Yeah.
It's going to be his first East Coast trip. So, you know, that's... It's definitely going to be big on his list. So this is definitely something that he's going to look forward to. I mean, if money weren't a thing, I'd be out there as well. And yet somehow also at Cruel World Festival in Pasadena, if it were a thing. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a huge match. I'm sure he's looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it. You know, definitely want to make some history out there in Rhode Island.
But I mean, history as our first home win, or what history are you?
Wait, what?
I said the history and...
No,
we'll see. We'll leave it on the field.
Hey, we're the only I think we're the only undefeated squad now.
In the Western Conference, at least.
Western Conference, yeah, in the Western Conference. So I'm sorry, but I have to do a little. I'm crying for you because of the U.S. Open Cup. The group you guys got placed in, it's like, could they have not like screwed it up so badly where you guys have to travel? Oh. Sorry, but that was just so sad when I saw how that Rhode Island. It's like, we don't know what to do with this guy. Okay, we'll put him here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice that we got to make a couple trips to Charlotte, you know, back to back, you know, just get those frequent flyer miles going.
Yeah, no, that was quite a match too. I mean, you guys took it to PKs, and I mean, when you're in that situation, you're in the cup, you got PKs, we know that anyone could win, right? Doesn't matter what division you're in. We beat Kansas City a few years back to get to the final through PKs. So it's, as a team in a lower division, that's kind of what you try to strive for at times, right? Just try to push the game as far as you can. You have to park the bus, you do it. I know that game was a high scoring game too, so I don't think that was the situation necessarily, right?
Right. I was actually in Florida. I was watching that one on my phone at dinner, and it was just like, here we go again. It just, you know, absolutely fell apart. And once you go to PKs, like you said, it's a crapshoot. So you don't know what's going on or what's going to happen via that. Ryan, I think you watched that one probably a little more closely than I did.
Well, that was before I was on the podcast officially. And I think I wrote my match summary four different times because it just kept being like, oh, we're playing. Okay. Oh, nope. No, we're not. Oh, nope. And then, yeah. That game, I think it scarred all of us for a bit there, just the hope and then the lack of hope and the missed PKs. And yeah, just, I think we were all optimistic that that was going to be the first win, you know, facing a lower division team. But yeah, we did not take advantage of that at all.
And one big
but at least we entertained the neutral, which is what's important.
Yeah. One big piece that I think with, you know, being out of the cup so early is, you know, right now we're kind of seeing this club with a goalkeeper, you know, battle, if you will, or, you know, with Koke Vegas was out for some time and Jackson Lee came in and was nominated for player of the month. Like, that's how good he was. And, you know, now Vegas was back last match and he kept a clean sheet, had a great save. But we have Jackson Lee kind of sitting there twiddling his thumbs now when he definitely could have gotten in another cup game or two and, you know, kind of made that his tournament.
It's funny because we had a couple of years ago, we had that goalkeeper. We had the situation of who was going to be the starting goalkeeper. And it was great to see that kind of level of competition and really a good problem to have. But it was kind of, it ended up being kind of more sad for one than the other when we started to see the shine, you know, come on for Danny Vidiolo. Because we were all from the prior year, we were all fans of Carlos, he ended up at Detroit City FC, but he's still riding the pine more there. He played in an Open Cup match, but you know, he's still in the same situation where it's like he is solid. He should be a first string keeper, you know, somewhere, but it just hasn't worked out. You know, there's just been somebody who's up their game just one notch more than, you know, who are we to judge? But it's hard when you have goalkeeper, you know, both competent keepers. And you know, you gotta be the goalkeeper coach that has to pick. I would not want to be in their shoes.
No, absolutely. And I think it's tough for us too, because Vegas was our first signing and he's also our captain. So obviously once he was ready, it was gonna be get him back into the fold as quickly as possible.
Yeah. It's interesting to have a keeper as the captain. You don't see that very often. You know, it's usually a midfielder or center back or usually rarely a striker because they're too hot headed, but usually it's not even a D-mid. You usually have some cool, like Roro. I mean, our guy, he's an amazing captain. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys expect on Saturday matching up against us. So, tell us a little bit about your strikers. Tell us about what system you're seeing your guys play.
I'll let Ryan tackle this one first.
I'll get into what I expect maybe a bit later. But so one thing that's a little difficult actually to talk about today is I don't know who's going to be striker this week. So basically the one of our first couple signings, JJ Williams, who was at the Tampa Bay Rowdies last year, he kind of got hurt during preseason. So we haven't seen him yet. Chico, our reigning Golden Boot winner, has been our striker for most of the year. He just picked up an injury in Vegas, tried to play through it, was out last game. So not really sure if we'll see Chico or not this game. And last game we played Mark Doyle. We came over from Ireland to the team. I think he played okay. He had some good moments back to goal, but one of the reoccurring themes of the season for us is we haven't been creating a lot of chances and in turn haven't been creating a lot of goals. So that's the thing I'm very worried about, especially looking up the data for you guys. You're very strong defensively. You're also unfortunately very strong offensively. So yeah, definitely very nervous for what we're going to see on Saturday.
As far as a style or like systematically, you'll see like predominantly a 3-5-2 with the high press. We generally bypass the middle of the field. We tried dropping Noah Fuzon a little bit deeper to try to get him on the ball. Ryan and I will both tell you, whereas Dequan might be our best player, Fuzon might be our most important just because of his ability to pass the ball, thread the needle, and he's just very silky on the ball. Without Chico, it's going to be really tough for us to score goals. We struggle scoring goals with him, so without him, obviously, a little bit worse. And then the other kind of piece of that is we've got to find a way to string together more passes, and it just has not been happening at all, especially into the final third and, you know, kind of completing some of those passes. So that's been the real area of struggle with us of late.
Well, you might match up pretty well against us because sometimes our possession stats are not as strong as, even against Phoenix that we just played. You would have thought that Czech Republic's possession stats would be higher, but we're fairly predictable in how we play. You know, we count on Nick to generate a lot of our restarts, you know, if not the defenders themselves. So we may just match up pretty well as far as, you know, possession goes. So with respect to stoutness on the pitch and stoutness going into the tackle, stoutness, what is your yellow card situation looking like? Because ours sucks.
Yeah, I think that's an issue across the league. I think that's an officiating issue with the league. I think the inconsistencies on when yellows do show up. I think the quality of officiating in the USL Championship is piss poor, to put it nicely. You know, we kind of joked around in the supporters section at the Phoenix Rising game that it's almost like they make calls to get a rouse out of the crowd at times. Because was that the game, Ryan, where it was 47 falls, or was that the Charleston game?
It was Charleston.
So the Charleston game, the referee was the star of the show, and it was downpouring, and he blew his whistle for 47 falls, and it was a 0-0 draw. People were slipping and sliding all over. Like, the weather was torrential. So, you know, we tend to be disciplined more than the opposition. I think the last two matches were the first two that we were not. So it's good to see that kind of shift a bit. But Karifa Yao, one of our starting center backs, will go in for a crunching challenge. I wouldn't even say occasionally. I would say most of the time. So he's bound to get booked on a harsh one going forward. But our discipline is getting a little bit better, but they were piling up early and often.
Yeah, one of the things that's been a real pillar to this team so far, which I think has been a standout in a good way, has been we're just like a super high-pressing team. I think we lead the league in tackles. But when you're playing that high-pressing, high-intensity style, it does end up, you know, getting you a few extra yellows than you might think you deserve. So yeah, I hope we don't pull off completely from that in general. I don't know about for this match, but yeah, the yellows are definitely racking up from that style of play.
Well, you will probably need to do a little bit of high press against, you know, you heard all about our defense.
Yep.
You know, we've got Connor Donovan. I mean, come on, the dude's an animal, and you've got Jared Timmer and, you know, Lee Desmond, who's like the, I don't want to say he's the brains of the three of the defenders, but they're all three of them are really incredibly smart. And then you put it, we've got Shane Wheat sitting on the bench ready to come in, and he's fast. So, you know, so it doesn't matter with our, you know, that group of guys. And then, you know, like everybody else, we play that wing back system, and, you know, they're pretty good. But at the end of the day, you said you guys run a 3-5-2.
We saw kind of like a 4-1-4-1 last time out. So I think, you know, without Chico, he's starting to tinker a little bit. I think he needs to tinker a little bit more. Connor Smith, the manager. But, you know, we discussed that at length. We had a little bit different viewpoint on that last episode. But it's interesting because the personnel and kind of injuries are kind of dictating what we're going to see and what we can kind of see from this team right now.
Injuries suck, man. We just welcomed back Dami Villadere from injury this last match, but we still have our traditional number 9 is still questionable. He's still not available for selection. So, and that's Sebastian Herrera. But we've had some other guys come in that have just been incredible. As you know, we brought up Trevor Amon from USL League One. And he's definitely, I know you guys are going to grill us like a cheese sandwich later on another one. But, you know, I just have to brag a little bit that we're a handful up top. So hopefully they can't pick us up. But, you know, your players are prepared for the attack of Czech Republic. so that it can be a really good game.
Yeah, no, looking looking at their stats and stuff, it's just wild to see, like I said, Amon, Rodrigo Lopez, Cicerone. I mean, it's just, I'm like looking up like who's like their better players, and everyone's like a 7.5 on FOTMOB, and it's just like, oh, they're all good. Oh, great.
FOTMOB absolutely loves us. It doesn't matter who's playing. It's like, oh yeah, they're gonna get it. Yeah, exactly. 7.8. Trevor. Well, but last year they did that with Kekko, and then we didn't resign Kekko. You know, and Kekko was always high up there in the stats. It's like those unappreciated players. So of your squad, you've mentioned a couple standouts that are appreciated, but you don't necessarily always play through the midfield. But if you could pick somebody in that midfield area that would rank high on FOTMOB, that unsung hero, like our Nick Ross, you know, he's an unsung hero that does get high ratings on FOTMOB because they understand it. Mm-hmm. But who would that player be for you?
Yeah, I think it has to be Clay Holstad. He has gotten a lot of love from his long range screamers. He was like Sports Center number one or number two, top 10 the other day from like that indirect free kick, if you guys saw that crazy scenario. But yeah, he's been, I think, a real like cog in the machine this year. He's actually dropped back to play center back a few times, but he, of anybody, is always putting in a shift. He's trying to dictate play. He has a great shot on him if he can get one off. So I think he's been asked to do a lot, but he's also really stepping up to the plate.
I would also add, we talked about it last night in our episode too, a player as far as a little bit more under the radar, I would go with Mark Ibarra. You know, he was a player that I kind of looked at as like, what does he do? And then starting to look at FOTMOB and it's like 7.3, 7.5, 7.6 every match. And it's like, I don't remember him being on the ball or like remember him doing much, but I started looking at the stats last night or yesterday for our podcast for, you know, the match that we just drew 0-0 versus North Carolina. And he was one of our, I think he was our second most progressive player with passing into the final third, just behind Holstad. He had the most passes complete, and his pass completion was like 92 or 94%, you know, in the high 90s. So he's one of those players that doesn't make big errors. He plays the safe pass. He's kind of that metronome and kind of that ball recycler to get the ball out to the wings, which is, we like to get it out to the wings and try to hoof it in. And our cross completion rate is absolutely terrible. But Ibarra is that bridge from the middle of the field, getting the ball out wide to the wings.
Good analysis. Great analysis. Luis and Jared have just both popped in, and they probably have something to say as well.
Yeah, as far as Koke Vegas, he's definitely no stranger when it comes to against Republic FC with his days with the San Diego Loyal. Rest in peace, San Diego Loyal. He's definitely a formidable goalkeeper. I mean, I know he recently, like you said, was kind of sidelined with an injury, but now that he's back, I mean, I definitely believe Rhode Island, once the chemistry starts coming together with Vegas and some of the other signings, you know, I really do think Rhode Island's going to be, you know, a stickler in a lot of club sides. And I certainly hope so, because with all the signings that y'all been doing, you know, picking some from San Diego, some from RGV and other clubs, I mean, it's only a matter of time. There's obviously going to be growing issues being an expansion club. I mean, I won't go into ours because we all know that result. But, you know, I definitely have high hopes for Rhode Island. And, I mean, this could be a tough match. I mean, there's no easy matches anymore. So, you know, Rhode Island is basically, you know, a good shot for a good fight here. So we'll just see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with Vegas coming back, he likes to play it a little bit more out of the back than we saw with Jackson Lee. And with the addition of Gabby Alves into the back line, kind of playing our left center back right now, or a left like hybrid back type thing going on that was we kind of saw versus North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He will look for Gabby on the left, and Gabby is smooth on the ball. He's our best passing of the three center backs out there. Yao and Odarsa are not skilled with the ball at the feet. They are just kind of coming in for the crunch and challenge and trying to get rid of it. But Gabby Alves is someone who can really put a long ball in, he can cross a ball in. And he's smooth on the ball. We've seen some really good turns from him. And we know Vegas likes to come out of his box. He likes to play a high line. So if he can kind of play that sweeper keeper role and get that ball to our forward players, that's, I think, where we have our best shot of generating some kind of offense.
So now I want to move off the pitch here. You guys are a brand new team. We were in that situation 10 years ago as well. And I know you guys are actually going to get a stadium of your own next year, which looks really nice. We're still waiting for our own stadium that we can actually say is ours, because our current one we're like renting essentially too. But how has the support been like leading to it? Like, How did you guys get involved as well? Like, what did you have going on before Rhode Island?
Ryan, yeah. You go ahead, start this one.
Yeah, the support's been great. So the first match of the season, we had a home game. It was a complete sellout, which was awesome to see. And even then, I think our average attendance is right around the mid-level of the USL Championship so far. And that's with, as Matt mentioned, I think one of the games, it was a literal torrential downpour the entire time. It was like 38 degrees and raining. It was horrible. And multiple games that have been like in the 30s or low 40s. So the weather hasn't been kind to our home match days, but people have been turning up. Matt mentioned our supporter group, Defiance 1636. They've been absolutely awesome, really building this community, kind of inviting whoever to our tailgates to come meet the group. There's watch parties for every single game. So the supporters group, also the club, has been doing watch parties all over the state to try to generate interest. So you definitely are starting to see more cars with like the Rhode Island FC magnet on the back when you're driving around the state, which has been awesome to see. So yeah, just hoping that we can, you know, keep spreading the word as a small part of this community to bring more and more people in. And for myself, I grew up in Rhode Island, lived here until I was through college. And then I was up in Boston for like 10 or so years. And I saw that Rhode Island was like starting the soccer team. And I was like, oh my God, I have to get on the season ticket list, even though I live however an hour or so away. And for whatever reason, things worked out where I moved back at the time the team started. So I was super excited, got into the Discord with the team, and then started commenting on Matt's podcast posts. And he decided, he was like, hey man, you want to come on sometime? And here I am. So.
Yeah, I think that's like Ryan said, the supporters group has just been awesome. There's a really cool with the band. We do a march in together, flags, drums, everything, you know, the smoke flares. It's quite an atmosphere going in. If any of your listeners want to kind of see that firsthand, I usually go live on our YouTube channel while we do that. So you can go check out our YouTube channel and, you know, you can actually see a couple of the previous ones, but I'll go live during the Sacramento walk in too as well. It's just cool. It's a great time, you know. Like Ryan said, I have a kindergartner that loves soccer. He plays and he comes to every match with me. And sometimes he pays better attention than Ryan and I. But, you know, it's very family oriented, although for us, the start times aren't. So like I said, kindergartner going to 7:30 Friday night matches or Saturday night matches is tough. Getting them up the next morning and getting home. But it's just cool. It's just been a really good vibe with the supporters group and just random people you meet in the parking lot tailgating before.
Man, that's an awesome story. Those are awesome, awesome accounts. It reminds me back in the early days of 2014, you know, when our supporters group first started, the Tower Bridge Battalion, they were trying to figure out what their name was going to be. And, you know, thank goodness they picked an iconic location here in Sacramento. But man, that's just, you guys are on the right path. And if the club itself, the club management is working with the supporters group and stays in really good conversation and communication with them, it stands to reason that it will progress and become better. The downside to supporters groups and clubs is often the lack of communication between the two. And so I would just urge whatever your role can be is to continue to push non-complacency. It's like you can't get complacent with communication between a supporters group and a club itself.
No, that's well said. And I think we actually have club staff within our Discord. And I know Irvin that runs the Defiance just does an absolute great job kind of pushing things to them, pushing ideas to them. And so far, for the most part, the club has been like, yeah, go ahead, do it, try it. You know, and I think that's part of the cool kind of learning curve to it all.
Jealousy, you guys get to do flares because we're in a state facility, state of California, no flares. And now no flag poles, but flags are allowed, but no poles. That's it's tough. Just weird. We'll talk about that on Wednesday when you guys.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I got one last question, and this is for William, who we know is actually going to be going over there. And maybe anyone else who's listening who might be going, they haven't told us quite yet. What's the best place to get some to eat that's close to the stadium so they can go and either get lunch or maybe post game if they're still open, get some late night dinner?
He loves noodles, by the way. He loves pho and noodles.
All right. That's a little tough in that area. I actually grew up on the same, I grew up right on the same street where Bryant University is. And there is a pretty cool little pizza shop right outside of it called Slice and Scoop. Slices of pizza, scoops of ice cream. That's what I usually pick up for my son on the way in. We're doing, or the Defiance is doing, we do a tailgate and it's usually just a donation to hop in. I think they're doing chili cheese dogs. I read in the Discord. So you can come eat with us. You know, we'll definitely feed people for sure. But as far as like, if you want to go to like a sit down restaurant, there's a really cool spot right outside of the stadium called Parenti's, just kind of like a hometown bar, like, you know, bar food, so stuff like that. But I think the real kind of stars of the show are the food trucks in the stadium, and they're actually inside of the stadium. So I think it's a little bit different than, you know, some places have them outside for the tailgate. So if you want to get food before, grab a slice at Slice and Scoop and then hop into the stadium. There's, I know Red's steak and cheese truck is phenomenal. There's a pizza truck in there. It kind of rotates. So there's like about, I would say, anywhere from like 4 to 8 that have been in and out of the stadium throughout. But I wouldn't go to the concession stand line. I'd go check out those food trucks once you get in there. And it's also worth noting that it is tailgate friendly. So, you know, people can bring whatever they want, you know, grills, food. Definitely get drinks. Get lubed up before you head out in there and have a good time. Ryan mentioned that torrential downpouring rain. I think that was probably one of the nights people drink the most, myself included, just to stay warm. So the weather's looking good. It's looking like it's going to be 60 for the day. So, you know, hopefully in the 50s for game time. The wind can swirl at Burns Stadium, so hopefully the wind is a little died down. But food, I'd say wait to get inside and get those food trucks. You, Ryan, do you have any other...
There's a place I like around the corner. So for when you'll see at our stadium, we're really in like the middle of nowhere at this current stadium. We're in the woods. Yeah. The new stadium is actually in like this really urban, like kind of more area, which will be really cool next year. There's also a restaurant around the corner called Blackie's. It's like named after a dog.
The university is the Bryant Bulldogs, and it's the Blackie, I believe, it's Blackie's Bulldog Tavern. So I believe it's a play on their mascot.
Who knew I was going to learn something about Rhode Island today on this podcast? Yeah, that place is great, though. They have it's like a very classic American. They have like absolutely everything. If anyone has food allergies, they're really good with food allergies. So good stuff there.
Mm. Cool. Well, there you go.
Yeah, William. but no, unfortunately.
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'll try something there, too. And you guys will likely see William. I mean, he also does his live streams on his phone. So he'll likely be going to the tailgate now since he listens to this podcast. And
yeah,
hope you're out there looking for you guys.
Yeah, and I would say if you're going to be around for like the weekend, if you go into Providence, there's a ton of great food in Providence. So,
Oh, nice. There you go. Well, we're looking forward to seeing those YouTube lives and getting a vibe of what it's like to be there. Hopefully, someday we get to actually also be there ourselves too and explore Rhode Island. And I'm really glad that you guys got a team. Always been a big believer that any state right now that doesn't have any soccer team, especially states that don't even really have main sports teams, we should have USL championship teams there and start to build what you guys are already building in other places as well. And just, you know, give MLS a run for their money, right? Show them that we're the true soccer league that actually cares about growing the sport, not just, you know,
not killing off teams like the MLS.
Yeah, bringing expensive players and then, you know, making some teams feel like they're not really worthy.
Sure. That's well said. That's really well said.
Yeah.
So it's funny because there was just an article in Soccer America about how an investor was planning to invest in MLS, saw all the fees and decided to invest in English Premier League. It just came out today. And the reason
Bournemouth, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because their owner, I watched the Scottish League a lot. I'm a Hibernian fan and he has a small minority stake in them as well. But I read that same article. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it just put everything into perspective at the price of admission for MLS is BS. And here he can go and invest in Bournemouth and, you know, just it's going to make much more of an impact over there.
Well, it is crazy to like, he was like, oh, it's easier for me to get into the most popular, most expensive league in the planet rather than like the MLS here. It's just, and then again, it's also taking dollars that could have been invested in the American League into the Premier League. So just, yeah, really sad story for the sport here.
It is here in the United States. But anyhow.
Reflection, right? Like maybe USL should take that first division spot. We already have the structure too, right? League one, league two. Just saying, I said it when they had it all, like, but we're primed and set for promotion relegation.
And we want it. The soccer purist fans want it.
Yeah. Oh, and we'll keep asking for it and we'll never be quiet about it until it happens. So awesome. Well, thanks guys for being on the podcast again. And we look forward to being on yours here on Wednesday. And once you guys have that scheduled, you guys want to share that with us, we'll invite our listeners to actually check it out as well and be able to leave their comments as you guys do the stream, which I think it's awesome that you guys do live streams as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Always love connecting with other supporters and learning about other teams, especially, you know, this being our first year in the league.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Matt. And to all the moms out there, even if you're just a cat mom or a dog mom, happy Mother's Day this weekend, and go team.
Well, once again, thank you to Dan from Kick It Soccer, and also to Matt and Brian from the RIFC Nation podcast for being our guests today, too. I think it's been a while since we've had that many guests on a podcast, ever since I think the episode 100. You guys recall when we had a lot of guests that we had had before and all that. So it's always great to hear different perspectives here and to learn more about what's going on in the world of soccer, too. So again, we'll be on their podcast on Wednesday. As they told us, we should actually get more information here as of recording later on today, too. So we'll be sharing that around. If you guys want to go check it out, since they do actually do their podcast live, you can leave comments as well. So we invite you guys to join and leave all your comments, leave any questions maybe that we missed here on the podcast for them as we get ready to play against Rhode Island on Saturday. But of course, first, we got Open Cup tomorrow at 7:30. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, go get them. The whole stadium won't be open, so it's a little different for Open Cup when we talk about the first game. That's usually how that goes. There is still plenty of tickets remaining. So get them and check out a Open Cup game, because these games are really awesome. And we don't know if there will be another game after this one. So we're hoping there will be, but it's win, continue, or lose, and you're out. So check it out tomorrow. All right, Sharon, Jared, last final parting words before we say thank you to listening to this long episode.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this long episode. And Jared, thank you so much for joining us while you are en route to Kilgore, Texas. And have you made it out of Tucson yet?
Not yet. We're just in the southern portion. We just passed Keno Stadium a little while ago. It's where we had the Desert Friendlies last year and this year. But yeah, ever so slowly, we're getting closer to getting out of Arizona. And once again, thank you to our listeners for sticking around with this long episode. Definitely had a lot to talk about. Now, once again, thank you to Dan, Matt, and Ryan for joining us. And go Republic.
Awesome. Exactly. Yeah. Go Republic. And also, happy Mother's Day to all of our fans out there. Doesn't matter what kind of mother you are, but happy Mother's Day. You've earned a day in a year.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for mentioning that, too, Sharon. I'll join you with that. Happy Mother's Day to all. And also, thank you to our guests for being on, and for you, listener, for listening to the podcast as always, and all your support really means a lot. And as I mentioned earlier with the Kick It Soccer event, for every registration that we get, not only do you get a discount, you also support our podcast as well, because we get something back from that. And that's just going to help us grow and cover some of our expenses that we're currently spending out of pocket ourselves. So thank you so much for that support. All right, y'all, have a good morning or a good night whenever you might be listening to us. And you'll hear us next week here on State of the Republic podcast.
Thank you, William. And cue the music.
Actually, let me.
We have friends, Luis. We really have friends.
Is this real? Okay, let me backtrack, because I'm trying to like picture in my head how the episode will be structured. And I think I'm going to have both of the guests on back to back. I think I'll probably do that so that we go for. Okay, cool.